This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
You can tell the quality and the strength of the roots of a tree when strong winds blow. Some trees stand firm, while other trees come crashing to the ground. The same thing is true in the spiritual realm. You can tell the quality and strength of a person's spiritual roots when the winds of false doctrine blow through the church. What kind of spiritual roots are you putting down, and are you putting them down in the right place? That's our focus today, as we continue our series titled Truth Above All, from Colossians chapter 2. Before we begin today's message, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that your word is truth. We thank you that your word is our stability when false teachers seek to move us away from the truth. And so, as the Lord Jesus prayed for us when he was here on earth, we now also pray that we may be sanctified by your word as we open it today, because your word is truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been studying Colossians chapter 2, we have seen that there are three main threats to the true church of Jesus Christ, and they are the same threats in all times and in all places. Satan's triple threat to the church. Satan seeks to undermine individual Christians and entire churches by introducing worldly philosophies and legalism and man-made doctrines. Satan's demonic legions are constantly at work to sow the seeds of error in these three areas. And so the Apostle Paul tells believers that we need to maintain a solid battlefront against these threats. Maintain good order and steadfastness, he says. He uses military language, the language of warfare. Take your battle positions, man your posts, stay in your ranks. Maintain a solid battlefront against the enemy. That is the thrust of what he is saying. Now, in our study, we have also taken time to honestly observe the situation in the evangelical church as we find it today. We looked at the evidence all around us. And as we do that, we have to be honest and realistic about what we see. In our day, it is not simply a matter of maintaining a united battlefront, as it was for the church at Colossae. In our day, we face the challenge of restoring that battlefront, because in many places, it has disintegrated. Many individual Christians and many churches are in confusion and disarray. The enemy is well inside the gates, and worldly philosophy, legalism, and man-made doctrines are sweeping across the church. And so the question we've been considering is this: how are we to restore the solid battlefront against Satan's triple threats of worldly philosophy, legalism, and man-made doctrines? In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul tells us that there are four things we need to do, and indeed we must do, in order to restore that solid battlefront. And so I want to read that passage for you once again as we begin. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this: As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In this passage, the Apostle Paul states four imperatives, four things we must do in order to restore a solid battlefront against Satan's threefold attacks. First, we must walk an enlightened walk, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. We covered this point in a previous message. Second, we must grow upon a firm foundation, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We began focusing on this point in our last message, and we continue today. And then there are two more points we're going to take up, the Lord willing, in future messages. The third is that we must trust in a complete Savior, verse 9, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And fourth, we must rest in a complete salvation, verse 10, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. And so we're focusing today on this second imperative that we find in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. In order to restore a solid battlefront against the enemy, we must be rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith, as you have been taught, Paul says, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, as we began examining this verse in our last message, we saw that there are six things that are true about a Christian and about a church that grows upon a firm foundation, the foundation of Christ alone. We looked at the first of them in our last message. The believer who is growing on a firm foundation puts down strong roots in sound doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, in order that the believer may grow upward in the faith. We saw that Paul uses two metaphors in this verse, two word pictures, that of a tree putting down strong roots and that of a building being erected upon a firm foundation. These two pictures show us the only proper position of the believer in Christ, rooted and built up in Christ and in His Word. We saw that Paul uses these two word pictures because they have one thing in common. Both a tree and a building have to be firmly rooted and anchored downward in order to rise upward. And so it is for the believer in Christ, and so it is for the body of believers who constitute the Church of Jesus Christ. We must be firmly rooted and anchored downward in Christ in order to rise upward, established in the faith. And so today we come to a second point concerning this matter of resting upon a firm foundation, being rooted in Christ, in order that we may be able to put up a strong battlefront against Satan's triple threat of worldly philosophy, legalism, and man-made doctrines. Point number two is this: the believer who is growing on a firm foundation possesses stability in the truth. Stability in the truth. The Apostle Paul has already spoken of this in chapter 1, verse 23. He says that it is imperative to continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not to be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. But as we've seen, the problem today is that so many people and so many churches are not continuing in the true faith. They are not grounded and steadfast. They're being moved away from the true gospel. People are going after all kinds of false teachings. Now, we know that this has been true in many periods of the church. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that this would happen even in the early church. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Now that was happening even in the early church. But at no time in the history of the church has the problem been as great as it is today. And there are two main reasons for this. One is the influence of postmodern thinking on the church, the idea that there is really no single standard of truth, and so therefore we need to be tolerant of everybody and everything and every spiritually deadly idea that comes along. But beyond this, in our time, is the global influence of television, radio, and the Internet. In our time, once a heretical idea comes onto the scene, it can spread literally around the world and literally at the speed of light in no time at all. Today, heresy spreads like wildfire. And so what do we see? We see cults on the increase in many parts of the world, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientology, and others are capturing people who are not rooted and grounded in Christ and carrying them away into all kinds of strange doctrines, all kinds of deadly error. And dear friends, because we are at a particular point in the calendar, I want to mention one particular cult that may at this moment be doing more damage than any other. That is the Harold Camping cult, the family radio cult, the false religion that this man has invented and so many people are following. Harold Camping has predicted that the world will end in October 2011, and hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions of people are believing him, even though he has already proved himself to be a false prophet. You may remember that Mr. Camping also predicted the end of the world in 1994, and it did not happen. And yet people believe him and follow him. But this is not the only problem with this particular cult. Harold Camping uses a method of interpreting the Bible that is completely opposed to the way that God in Scripture says that the Bible is to be interpreted. Camping rejects grammatical historical interpretation. And by using an unsound method of interpretation, he has hatched all kinds of heresies. Harold Camping teaches heresy about the person and the work and even the deity of Jesus Christ. Harold Camping teaches heresy about the church. Harold Camping teaches heresy about the way of salvation. Harold Camping teaches heresy about the destiny of the unsaved. Harold Camping teaches that he is receiving new revelations from God that add to Scripture and even change the meaning of Scripture. Dear friends, Harold Camping is a dangerous man, and his religion is not true biblical Christianity. It is a cult. And I urge you and I plead with you, stay away from it. Don't listen to his radio stations. Don't listen to family radio. The problem isn't only when Harold Camping is on the air. His network is teaching these evil doctrines 24 hours a day. But many people who are not rooted and grounded in Christ and built up in the faith are following after this man and his cult. Dear friend, don't be one of them. And God forbid that you should send a single dime to support such a ministry. Now, I know these are strong words, but this is the time for strong words. Hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions of people around the world are being led astray, and this must be exposed for what it is. The Apostle Peter used strong words in condemning such things. Here is what he says in 2 Peter chapter 2. There will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. They are presumptuous, self-willed. These, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, that is, spiritual adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. This is how Scripture speaks of false teachers and of those who follow after them. This is how God the Holy Spirit speaks of those who bring worldly philosophies, legalism, and man-made doctrines into the church, and those who permit it, and those who follow after these things. God pulls no punches. God doesn't make suggestions about the way you might want to do things if you feel like it. No, God gives commands. God gives stern warnings. Do not be involved with such people. Do not be carried away with them. Guard your own soul. Guard the souls of your children. Guard the souls of your fellow saints. Mark the people who bring in these false teachings and avoid them, Paul says in Romans chapter 16. You need to be rooted and built up in Christ and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. The believer who is growing on a firm foundation possesses stability in the truth. And the contrary is also true. If you are not growing on the one firm foundation, you will not possess stability in the truth. You will be susceptible to any false teaching that comes along. You will be easy prey for the enemy of your soul. Don't be like that, Paul says to the Colossian believers. I'm engaged in a great spiritual conflict because I want you to be free from these things. This is how you are to be, Paul says. Remember what you once were without Christ and what you now are in Christ. Never forget, Paul says, Colossians 1:21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we should grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Dear friend, you need to be rooted and grounded in Christ and established in the faith, so that when Satan's attacks come, you will be ready to stand the test. You'll recognize when worldly philosophies are being slipped into the church. You'll recognize when legalism is being brought in. You'll recognize when man-made doctrines are being brought in. And the reason you will be able to recognize these things is because you will know the truth as it is found only in Jesus Christ and in his written word. The Apostle Paul uses such a very fitting word picture when he speaks of putting your roots down deep in Christ and in his word, feeding on Christ and his word, being nourished by Christ and his word. That is the way you will have healthy roots, spiritually speaking. That is the way that you will maintain your stability when any preacher or book or video or television program or any other source tries to take you away from Christ, away from the truth. Your roots will hold firm. You will not be moved. Think also about this. The time you can really tell the quality and health of the roots of a tree is when the winds blow and the rains beat down. Several trees may grow up side by side for many years. But then, some of the trees develop problems with their roots, unseen problems. It may be a disease that destroys the roots. It may be some devouring worm or insect that eats away at the roots. And then one day a storm comes up, and the strong winds blow. And one tree remains firm and upright. But another tree right alongside that healthy tree begins to lean precariously. And another tree next to that one not only begins to lean over, but comes crashing to the ground. And as you examine the base of the tree that is leaning, you see that the roots have been partially destroyed. And as you examine the base of the tree that came crashing down, you see that the roots had been mostly or completely destroyed. And so it is with people who are not rooted and grounded in Christ. When the winds of error come, they don't stand firm. Spiritually speaking, they move away from their steadfastness, and often they topple to the ground. They are pulled away from the truth. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of Christ as it is found in His written word are the only place of stability in this horribly unstable world, the only stability that will keep you from being swept away when Satan attacks. Put your roots down in Christ. Let them grow deep and strong and healthy. Take up the health-giving nourishment that is only to be found in the Word of God. And thus you will be able to say with the psalmist David, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
As we close today, I want to remind you again about the free series of studies called Adoption by God that is now available on our website. Listeners have gotten in touch with us from around the world to let us know that you've been blessed and encouraged by these studies, and we're so glad to hear from you. You can read these studies online at our website. You can also download them in printable form, or you can contact us to request a printed copy by mail at no cost or obligation. Part one of this study asks the question, how are believers adopted by God? And the answer may surprise you. Part two presents the precious truths of adoption by God in relation to this present life. The fact that those who have been adopted by God now have new relationships, new privileges, and new responsibilities. Part three of the study presents the glorious truths of adoption by God in relation to the life to come, our secure inheritance, our new citizenship, our new glorified bodies, and much more. You can view these studies online by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org, clicking the Bible Knowledge Base link on our homepage, and then clicking the link titled Salvation, Adoption by God. Once again, go to our website, teachingtheword.org, click the Bible Knowledge Base link on our homepage, and then click the link titled Salvation, Adoption by God. You'll be able to view the studies online or download them for printing. You can also request a printed copy of these studies by mail. You can make your request by clicking the contact link on our homepage or by calling us toll-free at 888-804-9655. Once again, just click the contact link on our homepage or call us toll-free at 888-804-9655. Or if you prefer, you can write to us at Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. On our next program, we're going to continue our study in Colossians chapter 2 as we continue our focus on what it means to grow upon a firm foundation. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for praying for the broadcast. Thank you for your financial support. And until next time, May God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.